I can say to you today that I will do everything that I can to aid in the cause of bringing the war in Vietnam to a rapid but honorable and orderly termination.
That was Arkansas Governor Winthrop Rockefeller in 1969, talking about the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War and how it affected Arkansas is part of our conversation this week with Randy Dixon, who is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy, welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Thanks, Kyle. Good to be here.
Well, 2020, by every measure and estimation, is a tumultuous year. The years 1967, 68, and 69 were tumultuous as well, weren't they?
Very, very much so. And I remember it as a child, as being very divided, the opinions in the country, having a very conservative father who was an attorney and an older brother who was sort of, I guess you would say, on the hippie side. So there would be interesting conversations at the dinner table, to say the least.
2020 is a tumultuous year, not just for one reason, right? There are many different things. The late 60s ditto. I mean, there were questions about women's emerging rights and racial justice. But the Vietnam War was also there, and that's what we're concentrating on for this week. We heard from Governor...
For the decade between the mid-60s and mid-70s was about all that was talked about was probably
right.
Vietnam.
We heard from Governor Winthrop Rockefeller. We also are now going to hear from another prominent Arkansas office holder, and that's Senator Fulbright.
Yes, and he was probably the most outspoken, perhaps in the country, against the Vietnam War. And this is a clip from him talking about deaths and injuries and the impact on young Americans during the war.
Not only have we suffered, our people have, over 42,000 dead in combat and 8,000 in accidents and affiliated activities with the war. So you can say the war has already cost 50,000 dead and around 300,000 wounded. And many of these wounded are very severely wounded because of the nature of the war over there. They've had an unduly large number of landmines, booby traps, which blow off the legs, both feet, and arms of these boys, aside from the usual shootings that occurs in any war. And they're very severely injured. The percentage of severely injured is higher than normal in wars because with modern methods, helicopters and drugs, a lot of men who would have died from the severity of the wounds have survived, but very severely injured.
Senator Fulbright, and we'll hear him again later during our visit, Randy, when he talks not just about deaths, but other costs, literally costs to the United States from the war. He was a Democrat.
And there were a total of 58,000 who died during the Vietnam War. Oddly enough, 592 were Arkansans, which seems a little low, but according to the Butler Center, it was a total of 592 Arkansans who lost their lives during the war.
Senator Fulbright, a member of the Democratic Party, as were most elected office holders in this era of Arkansas politics, his Arkansas co-senator was John McClellan, also a Democrat, and we're going to hear from him. He and Fulbright did not share necessarily the same ideas about the war, did they?
And did not always get along, I understand, but yeah, you can hear a huge difference on the two and their outlooks on the war.
Great clamor about our rights to do this and to do that, however much it may inconvenience the public and trespass upon and encroach upon the rights of others. That attitude today is a threat to our country. Certainly we have a right to dissent. We have a right to disagree. We have a right to advocate those things we think will improve our country. But I do not believe any good American citizen has a right to advocate the destruction of this great government of ours and of the freedom that is ours that we cherish so dearly.
When I first heard that clip, Randy, I thought also about some of the things we've heard in 2020 about people who have criticized some of the social justice protests that, oh, protesting is fine, but I don't want it to go further. A lot of parallels here.
There's that same passion, don't you think?
Yeah.
You hear a lot of the same thing today. Those for and those against feeling that way on their side of the issue, I suppose.
In the 1960s, it wasn't just politicians who had outspoken opinions or were asked about the Vietnam War. One of the most famous people in the world at that time was Bob Hope, and he came to Arkansas during this time.
Well, and I was surprised by this because he showed support for the students and the protesters, and I always considered him, you know, Mr. USO. He always did the shows for the military, especially in Vietnam, and I was surprised by these comments.
Vietnam War and our handling of it. I thought I've watched that pretty close, and I travel around the different campuses, and I noticed that after the Tet Offensive about a year ago, February, that a lot of unrest started in the colleges because kids thought that they might have to go over and fight in a losing war. No kid wants to fight in a losing war. Nobody wants to be in a losing team. And I think it was General Van Fleet that said, never send an American boy into a contest that you don't expect him to win. And I think after we took a kind of a licking, and all the kids around here figured that, well, maybe it was an uphill fight, and they started to demonstrate.
Next up, Jim Pitcock, who we've talked about during several of our visits. He was the news director for years at KATV. Until you sent me these clips, I did not realize that as news director of KATV, he went to Vietnam to interview soldiers.
Yes, he spent about a month there, and this was just several months or weeks before the Tet Offensive, which was one of the big turning points in the war. But this is one of the promotional items that he did on the aircraft carrier.
This is Jim Pitcock, news director of KATV, aboard the U.S. aircraft carrier Intrepid in the Tonkin Gulf off North Vietnam. More than a dozen Arkansans are stationed on the Intrepid.
Stand by to recover.
And we will have interviews with these Arkansans on a special program Thanksgiving evening at 8:30. Don't miss Arkansans in Vietnam, Thursday night at 8:30 on KATV Channel 7.
I am shocked that a station in a market the size of Little Rock in 1967 could and would send its news director to Vietnam for a month.
Well, it was unusual, and it was a commitment that KATV made and that they have always, made over the years in covering the news. And I had a chance to talk to Jim a little bit about his recollections and a special report that they had put together about the war and the Arkansans serving there.
We ran, I think it was a 60-minute special the night before Thanksgiving in 1967, and we interviewed 103 Arkansans. And three of them were killed before we got back home.
That's from a recent conversation that Randy Dixon, my guest right now on Ozarks at Large, had with Jim Pitcock about the special reporting he did from Vietnam when he was news director at KATV in Little Rock. The clips, many of the clips that we hear during these visits from the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History, come from digitized material that originally aired on KATV. And you talked to Jim Pitcock also about a particular soldier he remembered 53 years later.
Well, and I was really taken by the fact that, I just asked him, is there anything in particular you remember, and the detail that he had about this young man he had met?
We found this fellow from Arkansas. His name was Buddy Mann, Garland H. Buddy Mann. He was from Desert, Arkansas. He was married. His wife's name was Hester, and he had a three-month-old daughter, and her name was Janet. And during the interview, I was just struck by how typical he was of the guy the 20, 21, 22, 23-year-old fellows from Arkansas that we had already interviewed. But he was just the typical Marine. He was a sergeant. And I remember he said, I've never seen my daughter. And I'm real, he was coming home right after the first of the year. He said, I'm really looking forward to seeing my daughter. And he said, you know something? I really miss Arkansas. I really miss deer season. And I didn't find out until we got back home that he was killed the next day by incoming artillery from the North Vietnamese.
What news and journalism, one of the things news and journalism can do best is humanize something. I mean, you were hearing countless statistics, as we do now with COVID-19 deaths, but you were hearing countless statistics on the nightly news back then, or reading in the newspaper or Life magazine about the number of deaths. And for Jim Pitcock and KATV to, get the stories, the human stories, is still more than half a century later is just amazing and something I hope he's still proud of.
He is. And it really made a huge impression on him, obviously, to this day.
Mm. Well, we heard from Senator Fulbright earlier during our visit. We're going to hear from him again. And earlier he was talking about the casualties of livelihood, of life, to United States young men. Now he's talking about a different kind of cost.
The war dominates so much of our activities because it takes all the money. And the things that we need to do in Arkansas and all over the country on all kinds of activities, in our resource development, in roads, et cetera, you know what they are, schools. This is such a drain on the country that it leaves little.
Randy, earlier in our conversation, you mentioned that you had an older brother, and you are older than me, so I imagine your older brother was draft eligible?
He came within a year. Mm-hmm. They ended the draft in 73, and he was within a year of being drafted, and that really brought up some interesting conversations around the house, too, with a conservative father and an anti-war older brother who's about to be eligible for the draft. But they did end the draft, and the North Vietnamese started returning the American POWs, 591, I believe, in total. And there was a colonel by the name of James Lamar, who had been a prisoner of war for almost 7 years. And he kind of made the circuit. He didn't want to talk about it at first, but then he traveled the country, and KATV and Jim Pitcock decided to devote a half an hour of prime time airtime to the subject.
Room 222 will not be seen tonight only. The story of Colonel James Lamar is a production of KATV News. Now here is KATV News Director Jim Pitcock.
Thank you, Ron Gardner, and good evening, everybody. Yesterday, the Defense Department lifted the restrictions on the stories that former prisoners of war in North Vietnam could tell. Tonight, Colonel James Lamar, who spent almost 7 years in a North Vietnamese prison, is with us, and he's going to tell his story.
If you were a local affiliate, you did not often preempt network programming for a news special.
No, or do an hour-long special
right
the night before Thanksgiving, you know, to show off 100-plus Arkansans who were over there. And I think, like as Jim said, that three of them had died by the time it aired. But this Colonel Lamar talked a lot about his capture. He was a pilot who was shot down, and his treatment, which was pretty harsh. But he went around the country talking about his experience.
I do feel that those activities did a great deal to prolong the war. And to answer your question about my own personal experience, I can state only that I was told by a North Vietnamese officer in an interrogation one time in 1970. Of course, this was sometime after the negotiations in Paris had begun, and at a time when the North Vietnamese actually were losing the war in South Vietnam. But I was told by this officer, we don't need to win the war in South Vietnam or on the battlefield, I believe his words actually were, when we can do it in the United States, that the American people were in the majority against the war and would force the United States to withdraw, and that once the United States withdrew, there would be no stopping them in South Vietnam.
We've heard from Jim Pitcock. Now we're going to hear another familiar voice, still familiar voice, from Arkansas television and journalism, Steve Barnes.
That's right. And he went up to talk to Senator McClellan, who we heard earlier, who was very passionate about protesters and supporting the war and supporting the country. And this is 1975, and he has certainly changed his mind about the war.
For what may be the first time in the history of this nation's involvement in Southeast Asia, Senator John McClellan has stated that he will not support an executive request for military aid. That statement was accompanied by McClellan's opinion that Vietnam will surely fall.
I think any military aid would be completely wasted. I think South Vietnam is doomed. And I don't think any amount of money that we could pour in there now would save it.
That same month, Saigon did fall. And this brings in a whole other chapter. Just as the war ends, Arkansas is still involved. And that is because of the thousands of Vietnamese refugees who were relocated at Fort Chaffee. And we had a large, large community up there. And at the time, David Pryor was the governor, and he spoke about talking to the president.
Actually, I received a telegram this morning, but I received a personal phone call from President Ford yesterday afternoon late, about 5:30, and he wanted to compliment the people of Arkansas for the reception. He called it a very major breakthrough. He termed it as the best reception that any of the Vietnam refugees had had thus far. And I thought it spoke very well about the people of our state, and especially in the Fort Smith area, who participated.
It was a messy time. It was complicated, and people disagreed. They disagreed vehemently, or they disagreed slightly, but it was a very conflicted time. And when you first gave me the rundown of clips you were going to share with us, I saw the person who's going to speak last here, and I kind of raised an eyebrow, Randy, because this is not an Arkansan. But when you hear this, it perfectly sums up the confusion and the sadness and the misery of these mid-60s to mid-70s years. Set this up for us.
Well, and this was early on. It was earlier than we have been going here. This was in 1968. And David Brinkley was at the University of Arkansas speaking about the war at the time he was within D.C. It was the Huntley-Brinkley report. He later went to ABC, but I just was taken by his perspective on the war at this time, and I guess it's almost like a commentary, which is not unusual these days, but back in 1968, news people were supposed to just give the news and not analyze or debate situations and conflicts. And I thought he summed this up pretty well, didn't you?
Yes.
Vietnam has been hit with more bombs than the United States dropped in Europe and all over the Pacific in the entire course of World War II. It has cost many American lives. Close to 1,000 American airplanes, and I don't know how many billions of dollars. Nobody does. But after all that, the war goes on, and nobody can see the end of it. And even when there is an end, whenever it is, or however it is achieved, nobody can be sure what we will have accomplished, and in fact, nobody can be sure we will have accomplished anything. We might well have destroyed South Vietnam in the process of trying to save it. So it is a war that, in my opinion, we got into by mistake and miscalculation and on the basis of bad advice to the president, and the ultimate benefits of it are at least doubtful. But we are in it. And in my opinion, there is nothing to do now but to stay there and to see if we can't save something out of it. To hang on and wait for a break, as sometimes you have to do in games and sports. To wait until North Vietnam sometime, somehow, decides it can get as much by negotiating as it can get by continuing to fight. The only alternative, actually, is to quit. And to expect the president to do that, and to say, in effect, that folks, these lives have all been wasted, the money has been wasted, it was all a mistake, to expect him to do that is totally unrealistic. He won't do it because he can't do it. He is hung up there, and the country is hung up there along with him. It is an unhappy situation. I have heard many answers offered, none of them very good. There is no happy answer, or if there is, I have not heard of it.
That's David Brinkley. You say that was an appearance. Do you know where he was speaking?
It was a symposium on the University of Arkansas campus.
Randy, these clips come to us from the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. You can find out so much about Arkansas history by going to their website. Just put Pryor Center into a search engine. It will take you there. I don't know where you're going to take us next time, but I look forward to the trip. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you. I'll see you next week.